Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit kintec.net. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.ca. So, yes, there is a lot to get into on the program today. Canucks taking on the Vegas Golden Knights following an overtime loss to the Utah Hockey Club.
Utah Jazz, huh?
Yeah.
So you got basketball on the brain, too. I will say, I mean,
it's just thinking about, you know, good old John Stockton and Karl Malone, the mailman, down in the post.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those games where, like, I've watched bits and parts of Utah Hockey Club games. Watching a whole game in that arena is a little odd. Like, you realize that the ice looks a little bit purple.
Oh, man, the camera angle on Shorty and DT after the game was just like, man.
They're in the corner.
Is this camera like 17 rows up and it's just like looking directly down on you? What is happening right now?
But I guess they're going to retrofit it and it's going to look better for next year.
Yeah.
Is that the plan?
That's the plan for Ryan Qualtrics or whatever he is on Twitter. Ryan Smith.
Ryan what?
The owner of the Utah Hockey Club.
Is that his ex name?
Yeah. I guess because he's into Qualtrics. I don't know what that is.
I have no idea what Qualtrics is.
That's enough of that. Let's get into the open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the open.
Mark! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks suffer a loss at the hands of the Utah Hockey Club. They'll be in Vegas tonight, so a chance to get through this quick back-to-back two-game sked with a win, and they at least get a point on the road. But, of course, that's not the best way to look at it, considering they had a 2-0 lead midway through the third period.
Yeah, a poor start and blew a lead.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there were a couple of bad bounces, you could say. You know, a soft penalty call, a bit of a fortuitous bounce, letting the puck get in, right? I mean, to make it 2-2, all those things are true. But you had a bad start again, right? And last season, this team wasn't blowing multi-goal leads in the third period. They've done that, you know, numerous times. So it was a fine evening overall as far as, you know, picking up a point on the road and, you know, how the game went. But when you compare it to the trend of the season where they've had some poor starts, where they've blown some leads, those were things that reappeared again. So when we talk about the good habits, the good things about this team, they showed in a couple of the past few games, especially against Florida, particularly against the Colorado Avalanche. We've also seen the dud like we saw against Boston. And then we saw some of the other inconsistencies in Utah. So I think these past four games, Reach, like we've pretty much seen every feature of this Canucks squad this season.
Yeah, even going back to the St. Louis game, it's been a spell of one good, one bad for the Canucks over this last little while.
I mean, and it was in the middle yesterday, right?
Like yesterday was in the middle. Kevin Woodley tweeted today that it was among the most high danger chances they've given up all season. Yeah. More than four expected goals against to the Utah Hockey Club in yesterday's game. So
giving up a 3-on-1 on the power play is probably not a good thing.
Yeah, probably not. Right. You know, so they did give up some big ones last night, and they struggled to deal with Utah off the rush and some different things, but it's just, again, a troubling trend where this team shows it's more in the murky middle of teams in the National Hockey League than it is closer to one of the contenders in the Western Conference.
Well, if you wanted to make the argument that they are a mediocre kind of team, you know, a team that's not me, I think saying mediocre is probably unfair because I don't think they're a team that's a like the Blues. And I don't think they're a team that's kind of in that, you know, 8, 9, 10 range as far as seeding goes. Like
I view them better than that too, but how have they played?
Yeah, but at the same time, you're right. But at the same time, like they're on far better point paces than those teams.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, they have 38 points in 31 games. They're on pace for 100 points on the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still have to prove they can get there, but those teams are 500 hockey teams.
Yeah.
So I think it's unfair to call this team a 500 hockey team. If they become one, okay, fair game. You know, obviously then we can point the finger, but their record does not indicate that they are that caliber of team, but they don't look like a team right now, Reach, that is capable of doing more than getting to the playoffs, right? Do you maybe win a round or whatever with the goaltending, perhaps? And maybe if things come together, do you maybe win two rounds? Okay, because you have a goaltender. But do you get the sense that this team can go all the way? They don't look like it right now,
no.
Right? And maybe when they get Hronek back and, you know, guys get healthier, we might see some of that, right? But that's not what they've been able to show us yet.
Steven East Van giving us a little bit of a clarification at 650-650. Qualtrics is the company he started and sold to get rich.
Oh, okay. Well, so good
now
name
we know.
Then. Good
now,
name.
Now we know for the Utah Hockey Club and Ryan Smith, Ryan Qualtrics on Twitter. Okay, enough of that. So you're right about this Canucks team and their play record wise, 613 point percentage, same as Edmonton, same as the Dallas Stars. So you're fine with that, right? You're in a good spot that way. But again, they continue to frustrate with their process and how they're playing on the ice. And defensively, yeah, it's been up and down. But ultimately, it comes down to their best players, right? Like now you're at a point where Pettersson is now four games without a point. Still has just 8 goals on the year as we are getting closer and closer to the midway mark of the season, 31 games played. JT Miller had one of his games last night where there's a little bit of everything, right? You know, you have some of the good that JT does, but some of the loud that can happen with JT when he's trying to get a lot done and he maybe tries to do too much, stays on the ice too long for overtime, and it ends up biting them in the end. Like those kinds of things, the penalty kill, like those kinds of things, you know, we've seen from JT time to time, and usually it comes from a place where he's trying to put the team on his shoulders and maybe he's trying to do a little too much.
Well, it's one of those live by the sword, die by the sword moments with JT. Players like him that play with that are audacious players, they're going to do things that sometimes are very risky and sometimes blow up in their face, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be afraid of making that mistake. That's how players make great plays. And every once in a while, they're going to make the bad decision. And part of it is you're in overtime, 3-on-3.
You've already got the 1 point.
Yeah, but 3-on-3 overtime is fake anyways. Like, who cares? Like, you know, and I mean, I'm not saying he made the right play, right? We can criticize time and place and stayed out too long. All those things.
I mean, if Garland connects on it, everybody's like praising the play.
For
right?
sure. But I mean, it's fair. Like, you, again, if you make a high risk play and it blows up, you didn't execute the play, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, he didn't execute. Didn't do a good enough job in executing the play if he was going to stay out that long. But it's 3-on-3 overtime, big picture. Who cares? It's not indicative of anything come postseason or whatever. If they need the point later in the year, maybe we'll look at it a bit differently or whatever. But it's 3-on-3 overtime. To me, that's not where the Canucks' issues lie, you know? And it's a big moment, cost a point potentially, and all those things. I get it. But as far as where this team is at and where these players are at, I think JT needs to create more anyways. So I want to see JT kind of, you know, be aggressive like he was. Be a bit more controlled.
Yeah.
Be a bit more disciplined. Maybe not that late into a shift. Make some smarter plays. But don't you want to see JT impose his will on the game more? Don't you want to see Pettersson impose his game on the will more?
Yeah.
Impose his will on the game more?
I'd love to see more of the JT we saw last year. You know, the controlled JT that played so well at both ends of the rink. His turnovers were minimized through the course of the season. You saw really the best version of JT Miller that we have seen at any point here in Vancouver. And he's always had a consistent high level, but last year he really took it that extra mile, and that's why he ended up with over 100 points. As far as Pettersson's concerned, I want to see more of the Pettersson that we saw through the first half of last year, more of the Pettersson that, you know, earned a $11.6 million a year contract. You know, I've seen the feeling that Pettersson is playing well defensively. It's like, great, but we're paying you $11.6 million to be a little bit more than just better defensively. And that's not a harsh criticism. That's the reality of the situation. The Canucks need more out of these guys. They need more out of their top players that aren't named Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, and okay, last night on the postgame show, Mike in Surrey called in very passionately, yeah, and he's texting in now too, and talked about how Pettersson and Miller have been better, and how if you look at the shooting percentages when those guys are on the ice, it will regress positively, and you know they will kind of get back to normal a little bit. They are generating chances by the metrics. So he's making this argument that there will be some bounce back. And I do agree that there will be a relative amount of bounce back, because if you look at the numbers, the percentages, it's the same thing as the PDO last year for the Canucks. Like, when they were going so hot, they weren't going to maintain it. Mm-hmm. If you're this cold, you probably are going to get out of it. You know what I mean? But there is such a thing as being cold for a whole year. That happens. Yeah. And how do you get out of it? And I think you have to be push yourself out of these things. So I agree with the larger point that maybe some poor shooting percentage luck, but Pettersson and Miller, they need to generate more individually.
Mm-hmm.
This team needs a better defense. We all agree. They got to transport the puck better outside of Quinn Hughes, and they have to spend less time in their own zone. They do those things and get more chances in transition. They'll get more looks. But right now, Elias Pettersson is attempting the fewest shots per 60 of his career.
Yeah. It's not good.
No, JT Miller right now is attempting the fewest shots per 60 of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Both these players are shooting the puck at the lowest rates they've had so far in their careers.
It's not good enough.
No, I mean, we know they can do more. We know they can impose their will on the 100%. Game more. They haven't been as bad as people make them out to be at times.
Yeah.
But they certainly haven't been as good as they need to be either. And if you want to get some positive luck going your way and get the positive regression, well, you also have to generate more. You also have to give yourself a chance to create more goals and more looks. And both these guys right now haven't done enough.
And I know where the conversation has gone, given the stories that have been out, how, you know, Pettersson's four-game pointless streak coincides with Miller coming back into the lineup. This is a story we've talked about a lot, and seeing it pop up again during last night's game and through the course of today and through all the discourse, I mean, to be honest, I did roll my eyes a little bit at it. Like, we've got to go over this again. We just did this last week when Miller came back into the lineup, and looking at the situation and seeing where it needs to get better. We all know that their relationship isn't all peaches and roses. We know that they don't get along and they're not besties. For the thousandth time, you don't have to be besties with everybody you work with. But you do have to respect each other enough to try and get the most out of whatever it is you are doing. And right now, that is trying to win hockey games, trying to build a good enough team to win a Stanley Cup. In order to do that, the Canucks need Elias Pettersson and JT Miller to be at their best. And as you mentioned, with some of these numbers, neither of them are at their best right now. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, like, what annoys me about the discourse more than anything else is, like, I'm team JT and I'm team Petey, and we're going to fight until the end, until one of them gets traded. No, that doesn't help anybody.
I saw a really good tweet about this. I think it was Dalvinder. I think the person was, and if I'm wrong, forgive me. I can't recall who tweeted it out last time, but I saw it. It's like people are team. They say team JT, team Pettersson. He's like, I'm team something, you know, like, just stop this, man. Like, I'm over it, you know? So I think it's funny. But and you know what? Like, one thing, we were actually talking about this before the show, Reach, right? Like, as far as this team obviously needs more reinforcements.
Yeah.
And if we look at the types of players they've had here in the past, obviously they need better defensemen, like even Ian Cole, for instance, and even Nikita Zadorov. But as far as having some personalities too, right? When Tanev was here, he was a real personality that brought everybody together, mm-hmm, in the room, right? He had a big presence with the team. Obviously, Edler too was kind of a silent guy, but, you know, a leader type that was around, right? And last year, they had Zadorov. They had Ian Cole, big personalities, right? Zadorov, even though he's not kind of like the, you know, somebody that's the nicest guy in that sense, and I'm not trying to say this in a mean way, but a big personality that was going
to
have
chirp
his
everybody on the team. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and we talked about this before. You need guys like JT on your team.
Yes.
We also need to have guys that can check JT, on a team, right? And we've talked about this in years past about you need certain personalities too that bring better dynamics to the overall, you know, locker room and things like that, right? You don't think Ian Cole and Zadorov, their presences are kind of missed, right? Because if you had those guys around, does that, and maybe that doesn't change how they're playing on the ice, but as far as all this other talk about, you know, where things are at as a whole with the team, could they be in need of one of those personalities that can bring a room together a little bit?
It feels like they need another dog in the room,
right?
Okay. They need a big dog in the room. I don't know where they get it from, but they need a bigger dog. Maybe it's a Napolitan Mastiff or something like that, but they need a big dog in the room right now to help bring this group together, because something about their inconsistent play, you know, not being ready for first periods, it leads to conversations of, well, what's going on behind the scenes? And that's why we continue coming back around to this conversation. But Ian Cole, we just talked to Bill Armstrong the other day, GM of the Utah Hockey Club. And what did he say about Ian Cole? He's a great leader in our room. He makes sure that we're able to live with the ups and downs of the season. And every guy in that room kept saying the same thing about Ian Cole last year. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they miss a little bit of that personality. Do they miss the big personality of Nikita Zadorov? I think maybe as they get closer to the deadline, that's part of your shopping list, is bringing in another dog into the room, because it feels like they're missing it right now.
And it's funny because we started talking about, okay, so who can some of these players be? Mm-hmm. And we'd heard earlier this season, Elliot speculate about Zadorov. Would he be a welcome? Would he be open to trade back to Vancouver?
Yes.
Right. And we talked about guys in the past. They've gone after Ryan O'Reilly, for instance, a couple years ago in free agency. He would kind of fit the bill. And then we kind of jokingly brought up a name that, you know, is a superstar. And GURP from Surrey texts in and says the name we talked about. They need Crosby here. Googly eyes. Right. It's kind of like,
I mean. Yeah,
of course. We all know that the Matt Sundin signing didn't work out as far as like the amount of money they paid him, right? And had he accepted a 2-year deal, it could have been a disaster, because it was, you know, a 2-year deal worth $10 million. Now, the management then argued that they never thought he would take the 2-year deal. So it was all about showing him and showing the league that they're big players, and they would sign him to a 1-year deal. And he signed for a little less than $10 million ultimately. But for the dollar amount he signed, he didn't make the impact people wanted. I actually thought the way he played down the stretch in the playoffs, he was a really good player for them. But one thing he brought to the team that every single leader that carried over and made that team into a Stanley Cup contender talks about was what his presence meant. Mm-hmm. And what he showed that team to allow them to mature to some degree and understand what else they had to do, right?
And what did they do the next year? They had the best year in Canucks history.
Yeah, and a guy like Ryan Kessler, he really credits playing with Sundin to let him take that next level and understand something else he had to do differently as far as his preparation and as far as the mentality he had to have if he wanted to be a real winner, right? I think those things can be important to a team, you know, and I think it's hard to find a guy like that. I think Crosby would be that player, but that's not likely. You know, that's a pipe dream, right? So it's more about, can you find someone that could be like Ian Cole? Can you find someone that could be like Zadorov was last year?
There's not a lot of those types of names out there, right? Like, I don't know, who's the savvy vet that you could add into this team that brings that kind of a presence? Chris Kreider with the New York Rangers could be an interesting name, but he does have a year left at over $6.5 million, or at $6.5 million. There's not, like, Taylor Hall isn't really that kind of a guy, right? He's not seen as, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, a true leader in that sense, given where his career has been and where it's gone. He had that great year in New Jersey, but quite frankly, what else has he done? Brad Marchand, don't know if he's getting traded, and that would be
could you imagine?
An incredible storyline.
Could you imagine?
True chaos, but he is a pending unrestricted free agent.
I mean, it would be this generation's version of Mark Messier signing.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what it would be like, right? Like, Messier comes and wins a cup in Vancouver.
It totally
then
would.
He signs, and it's a disaster, and then Marchand comes here and signs after winning a cup here 13, 14 years ago.
That would be that would be something else. But yeah, again, the names out there don't really add up is the point that I was getting to. So you got to get kind of creative with this. I'm not sure where it ends up. Could Ian Cole become available as an unrestricted free agent out of Utah again? I thought of Sean Couturier out of Philadelphia. That contract is not good enough. No, it's just not something that you're overly interested in taking on with 6 years remaining before unrestricted free agency after this one. So, you know, you go down the list, and it's not an easy question to answer. Yeah, how they bring in that level of a personality to help balance this group.
Yeah, and is that ultimately what they need or not, right? Like, is it as simple as if you get somebody in that makes the team better and they start winning and having more success, things calm down too as far as all the speculation? And I get it, because of the power play thing last night.
Yeah,
you know, Pedersen's not on power play one anymore. So the last game it was...
Well, they can't have Pedersen and Miller on the same power play unit.
I mean, that's clearly what the coach is indicating. Yeah. Now, what is it? And I get that's what kicked up the conversation again last night, right? But it's one of those things where, I mean, maybe it's not just about getting the player. It's also bringing the right person in here, too.
Yeah. And I think that's growing increasingly interesting as time goes on here. The other part of this, you know, if the answer can't come from outside. It has to come from within, as Terry Pegula would say. Yes. and ultimately, like, I do feel like this is not that it's not on Miller, but it feels like the conversation's always been a little bit more about Pedersen to me and him having to be more of a loud leader on this team. You can't always just lead by example. And the other way he can, and the part of this where he can lead by example, is to truly be this team's number one center and really take that and take the control of that sort of mindset and be the leader of this team. Now, he played more than 5 minutes, five on five. He played more five on 5 minutes than JT last night. Like, it's clear who Tockett is trusting a little bit more right now with the minutes that he's giving on the ice. But Pedersen's got to start scoring again, and he's really got to start leading this team a little bit more on the ice with his play. And I think that will settle the conversation a little bit more, too.
Yeah, and, you know, people bring up that Pedersen hasn't scored in the last four games. I don't think Pedersen's game has been too different the last four games. And that's not to be complimentary necessarily, right? Like, I don't think it's too different from when he was scoring 15 points in 10 games when JT was out, right? He created, he did things, but he's not still at that level like we talked about. This hasn't shot the puck as much. Now, last night, he shot the puck a couple times, almost scored in overtime, for instance. And had he scored in overtime, what do you think the conversation would be like today?
Very different. Yeah, we would just be talking about Pedersen leading the team to victory.
And isn't that pretty incredible when you look at where we're at, game 31 of the season? Mm-hmm. That one goal by one player would completely change the entire discourse.
We've lived... I don't know. Like, I know every season, and maybe it's just recency bias, but this season, especially because it's been very up and down for the last month, and it's like, it feels like one win, one loss, or like one good streak, one bad streak. It's been that way for a little bit now, even though the record suggests otherwise. It just feels like we're riding the roller coaster more this year than we have in past years.
I agree with that, right? And people make the point of, like, you know, isn't it about putting a Band-Aid on the wound? When do you do an operation? I think is meaning, like, when do you move one of these big players or whatever it is. The point being, when JT, there was all this talk about, oh, Pedersen's happy, JT's out. He had 15 points in 10 games. But if you watch his game, it wasn't too different than what it was when JT just came back these last four games, right? Yeah, and he played well. Like, I think he did a lot of good things. But I also think he played a really good game against Colorado.
Yeah.
Didn't get awarded for it with the point, but I thought he was really good in that game, right? Last night, easily could have had a couple points. He made a great play, set up DeBrusque, who just whiffed on, easily putting a puck in, right? Like, so it could have been one of those nights, and I'm not saying it's good enough. Again, he can be better, but he could have easily had 2 points last night and scored the game winner in overtime, and it's a different conversation about things, right? So my point is, I don't think his game has changed dramatically with JT in and out of the lineup. And I don't think that is necessarily, and I'm not saying it's not an issue, but I'm just saying it may not be the issue to the degree that we're making it out to be right now.
And be careful what you wish for. Like, if you want one of these guys traded because you're on Team Pedersen or Team Miller, like, show me a trade where they're getting better by trading one of these guys. Like, you're not. We just went through 10 games without Miller, and Dom Lecision over at the Athletic, he had the numbers. During that stretch, the team was last in the NHL, earning 41.7% of expected goals, 1.6 percentage points worse than the next team. The Rangers, you know, were that team. The team's offensive creation absolutely cratered, where they somehow only generated 1.61 expected goals per 60 in their time without JT Miller. So, yeah, I get it. You feel Pettersson is a better player. There's a reason he's getting paid more than $3 million a year more than JT Miller. But the idea that this team can get better in the short term without JT Miller, show me that trade where they do that, because I don't think it exists. Doesn't live in reality. Stan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Canucks in Vegas, Canucks Central Roundup. We don't have a lot of news on tonight's game because it is a back-to-back, so we'll hear from Rick Tocchet and see what he has to say as far as where it's going, but I do expect Kevin Lankinen to get the start. As for roster changes, could PDG or Linus Karlsson get into the lineup? We will find out if Deej gets in to the lineup. If you have a hockey player to buy for on your Christmas list, you need to check out the Hockey Shop in Langley. Their expert staff have been busy getting their stick racks ready for gift-giving season, and they've got the best selection of Bauer sticks for you to put under the tree. Like Bauer's newest stick, that's the ultimate gift for any hockey player, the Bauer Twitch. At the top of every kid's wish list is the Bauer Mystery Mini Stick, and the Hockey Shop has them in stock now. The Hockey Shop in Langley or online at thehockeyshop.com.